Hello, and welcome to part two of BJA's Body Worn Camera podcast with Sergeant Dan Gomez of the Los Angeles Police Department and Dr. Craig Uchida from Justice and Security Strategies. In this segment, Sergeant Gomez and Dr. Uchida discuss the relationship and collaboration methods between research partners and police departments.
In terms of the benefit of partnership for research, I think, because I think that's important. Can I get into that a little bit?
Sure.
Well, one of the things I want to say, too, is that I feel real fortunate to be working, you know, with the LAPD in this partnership way, that there are so many different things that you don't get to do as a researcher in police agencies, one of which I think is being able to work as closely as we do with the department at all levels, not just at the officer and supervisor level, but with the command staff and the chief himself on these kinds of issues. And I think it gives a different insight, at least for me, about the police department overall. And just generally, I think the benefits to myself and my staff, as well as to the research community, is to get a much, much better understanding of how the police department operates and works. And I say that as a, for instance, one of the things that the LAPD has done for years is only allowed ride-alongs for researchers or for civilians with supervisors or a senior lead officer who has a single officer vehicle. I think for the first time that I ever, and at least from what command officers have told me, we are given special permission to ride with the patrol officers, and which was extremely unique, and be able then to get as much information as we can from those ride-alongs and from those observations. And I think that level of trust that the department has in the research team, you know, spoke to me in volumes just because it hadn't been done before. And I think that is a very important aspect of this, and not only benefits us, but it benefits the research that we're doing. And so, you know, to me, that kind of thing is a real fundamental part of the true partnership, I think, that we have with the department.
Are you guys, as part of the study, are there any other agencies that are part of the study? For some reason, I was thinking UCLA was part of the study.
Yes, of course. And UCLA and George Mason University are both part of this study. At George Mason, Steve Mastrosky, who's a professor there, and in fact, a very well-known scholar in policing, helped us develop the instruments for both the survey and the observations that we're doing. And I do want to say a word on that too, because through the observations that we're doing, we're able to measure police legitimacy and public trust. And that's something that hasn't been done either in the kind of way that we're doing it. So we're able, through his assistance, we're better able to answer questions about procedural justice. And I think that alone is going to contribute a lot to the research and a lot to the debate and the whole issue around procedural justice. So, you know, we're going to be able to identify areas where officers show respect and trust and are neutral in how they make decisions, and how they're able to get citizen input into the decisions that they make. I think that contribution from Professor Mastrosky and the implementation of what we're doing, I think, will really be huge. The other part that UCLA is doing, they're assisting us with the video analytics, and that is we're trying to
determine how to analyze the video footage. And Dan, you can speak to how many hours of footage and all that. Do you want to mention that a little bit too of what we already have?
Sure. In our initial deployment, we started, for all intents and purposes, a full deployment around September 1st of last year, and running through our five divisions, roughly we have about 1,000 or so cameras out, and we've collected well over 200,000 videos already. We're averaging well over 1,200 videos a day that we're uploading from those units. So the amount of data that we're collecting is massive already, and our goal is to have 7,000 cameras out in roughly about a year, which would cover our enforcement force. And that really, when you talk that kind of volume, without having the discussion of, hey, what are we going to do with all this video? How can we use technology and analytics to help us? I think you're missing a vital component that all organizations are going to struggle with, regardless of the size of your organization, because it's all proportionate. If you're a smaller agency, you probably don't have as many people assigned to be able to look at it, but we all have to attack the data in a smart and efficient way to answer some of those questions around training and are we doing the right thing and going back to policy review. And that's where I think analytics will really play a key role once you get past the, what I like to term, kind of the shiny object, right? You look at the shiny thing that comes out of the box, then you have to look at all the data and how you're really going to make it meaningful and work for your organization and for the community.
And so UCLA is involved. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Let me just mention what UCLA is doing. We're working with Jeff Brantingham, who has very good links with the math department, and he's done work on predictive policing and predictive analytics. And what he's done is he's brought in mathematicians to begin to look at footage and begin to try to parse out what it is we want to identify in these thousands of videos that we're getting. And we have to take it in small chunks, obviously, but having those mathematicians work with us and perhaps get us to a point where a person doesn't have to review all of the footage, but an algorithm can identify certain features within the footage and be able to tell us, okay, here's where that footage is, here's how to hack.
Dr. Cheetah, I think we lost him.
Yeah, I think we did lose him there, Todd. So I think where he was going is that these algorithms that we're looking at, because whenever you have video that is either part of a use of force or some sort of event, we have a lot of eyes on that. That is something that we already know we're going to look at, and a lot of people are going to be able to weigh in on the appropriateness of that action. But there's going to be a lot of, you know, I hate to say the word, but routine video that we do every day in law enforcement where we're going to be making contact with the public. And the algorithms that we're talking about really provide an opportunity for us to use technology and algorithms to look at that and say, are there things that should be, for instance, flagged? Are there things that will help us in random samplings to ensure compliance with policy? Those are the kind of things that through technology and through this project, we'll be able to then say, hey, we don't have to use as many human hours behind that. We can be much more strategic in how we look at the data.
Right.
Sorry about that.
Oh, you're back.
Yes, I'm back. Sorry.
Sergeant Gomez was sort of finishing your train of thought, but I know if you wanted to,
good.
If you wanted to finish, I know at the BWC symposium at Stanford, I heard a little bit about some of the research that UCLA was doing, and I think it was around traffic stops and foot pursuits, possibly.
Yes, foot pursuits. Yes, and they did that last summer, I think it was, and And part of what we learned, I think, more importantly than anything else, is that because these cameras are attached to people, they move. And capturing any kind of thing with movement of the person changes the dynamic of the cameras and how you can analyze the data from those cameras. And I compare that to the closed-circuit TV cameras and other fixed cameras that just pan and really are exactly that. They're fixed. And it's easier to use that, and most of the technology and most of the algorithms right now are based on those CCTV footage and just basic video that's already, you know, just still. And here we've got officers that move, and that dynamic, it changes a lot of things because it's moving, it's shaking, it's juggling, et cetera. But they were able to see how foot pursuits could be analyzed, and they were able to break through, I think, to a certain degree there.
Great. Thanks for elaborating on all that, both of you. And thanks, Sergeant Gomez, for filling in when we had a technical difficulty. Without revealing any potential outcomes of the study, can you tell us, maybe from both your perspectives, what surprised you most about this evaluation process, process or the partnership itself?
So I'm happy to jump in first. I think that from the LAPD side, I think the value of having the observers in the car and taking a look at what was happening, kind of a step back view, I think has already kind of resulted in some interesting findings that, you know, we'll get to play out later. But, you know, one of the things that has always been talked about was when it comes to that observation, that initial contact with an officer and them having a camera, will that modify behavior? And we've all said that we all act better on camera, which I absolutely believe. But in the initial contact, when someone calls for help, I think this next round of questions will really kind of reveal is, does the camera really matter in that initial point of contact? And anecdotally, what we're seeing is that people don't really care about the camera in that moment of first contact, and the officers are not thinking about the camera in that first moment of contact because they go back to their training and trying to understand what's happening, and the community member that's calling us for help is looking for exactly that help. So the camera in that initial point of contact is not the first thing on everybody's mind. Eventually comes up, but is not the first thing. So I think anecdotally, I think we'll start to see through the research whether that kind of plays itself out, but we're already starting to see that in our initial deployment.
And I want to follow up with that too, because one of the things we preliminarily have found in the observations is that the officers are responding in obviously very professional ways, and that when we looked at these components of procedural justice, and I can just take one as an example. So participation is one of these components of procedural justice, and it means that does the officer, when he or she arrives at the scene, are they listening to everybody? Are they getting feedback from everybody? And also, how are they listening to people, right? And what we found in all of that was over 76% of the officers that we observed and in their encounters, they were very active listeners. And that is, they would ask questions. They would probe. And that frankly, was pretty high in terms of our expectations. I think we also saw that they showed a great deal of respect to citizens they encountered, that in everyday encounters, that when they respond to a call, whether it's a disturbance or someone asking them a question on the street or it's a theft or whatever they're arriving at, we found that over 90% of the officers showed respect and were respectful to the citizens that they met up with, right? And this is before the cameras are implemented. So what I'm thinking is that because this is how they operate already, the way in which they're going to operate with the cameras really isn't going to change all that much, frankly. And I think that, and again, though we can measure that and say, here's what and how much procedural justice they did beforehand, and here's what they did with the cameras. And no difference in this particular instance could be very good for the police department in that regard. And I think that might be a potential outcome that we'll see. And that really surprised me. And I shouldn't be surprised because the LAPD really is a professional department. But I think to be able to have those kinds of numbers really bolster that argument and really show, you know, how they do respond and how they do act on the street just generally. Yes, I think it is. I've told the department about this, and they weren't that surprised, I guess, but I was. So, but I think this is one of those real benefits that research can tell them and show them.
So the final question is, part of BJA's solicitation for grant funding is that they recommend collaboration, and you guys have obviously been collaborating. Would you guys recommend other agencies partner with a research partner, and if so, why?
Yeah, from the LAPD side, I would say absolutely yes. And I kind of go back to where I started. I think that, you know, part of the challenge that law enforcement is having today is to make sure that we're giving out the correct message to the community. And I think that having partnerships with universities, with all these partners, really helps, again, frame that message that it's not just the LAPD saying it, it's our partners at UCLA or at George Mason. Again, it allows, it creates a greater weight relative to what you're doing. And then it also allows for that difference in thought, because a lot of times Dr. Chita and the staff that he brings and the partners he brings to bear on this really look at it from a different angle, and it's great to kind of get outside of your comfort zone. I'm very used to setting up perimeters and doing the things that we do every day in police work, but when it comes to the academia side, certainly it's been quite a long time since I've done that, and I'm not as good at that. So I welcome the partnership with them to be able to take a step back and say, hey, can we do this differently? Can we look at this in a different way? And vice versa, I think that the information that we're able to provide to these partners is an insight that they don't typically get, and then together we come up with something really good. So from my perspective, I would say that it's an absolute win-win both for the organization and for the partners, and then ultimately it's a win for the community. So for me, it's an absolutely that they should be working toward that every time that they're especially going down something as important as this, which would really kind of change modern policing.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with any of that. I think the partnership that we have is great, and like I always tell people, I am having so much fun doing this that it's just a pleasure to go into the department and to engage with everyone and do the research that we do. I think one of the things I would caution, though, is that the police agency needs to be very open and open-minded about research, and I think that's really important. And it starts from the top. I mean, Chief Beck and his command staff and everyone that I know and have met have been very open. In other departments, that's not the case. And if the department and researcher are going to form a partnership, I think there has to be that kind of transparency on both sides in terms of what we do as researchers and what we think, and let the departments know that, you know, the department's agenda is very, very important, and that to me especially, I will follow that and answer questions and let them know how and what we're doing. And I think the open-mindedness of the department makes it easy for me to do that. On the other hand, if the department isn't that way and is skeptical and not open, it's going to make things much more difficult. But I think that's part of the relationship building that has to happen as well.
Thank you, Sergeant Gomez and Dr. Uchida. I'm glad you guys could speak with us and share your knowledge on this important topic. We encourage law enforcement, justice, public safety leaders whose agencies are interested in learning more about the implementation of body-worn camera programs to visit the body-worn camera toolkit at www.bja.gov/BWC. This toolkit offers a variety of resources that agencies can use to help with the adoption and use of community engagement, policy development, data collection, officer training, and educational purposes. We also encourage listeners to share and promote these resources with your colleagues and staff. Lastly, all these resources, and especially the body-worn camera toolkit, have been designed as a national resource, your resource. Please submit your ideas for new content through the BWC support link at the bottom of the homepage. This is Todd Maxwell of Bureau of Justice Assistance Body-Worn Camera Team signing off. Thank you to our listeners for joining us today.